I'd like to invite you to join me, if you wish, in turning to the book of Acts, chapter 2. For the next number of weeks, we're going to do something of a journey through the book of Acts. And particularly, we'll be looking at stories that remind us, encourage us, help us to see that God is always building bridges to places where bridges have never been built before. And in this story, as we begin today, at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, God begins to build an incredible bridge by creating a people. So we'll begin reading at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And the next several verses describes the people that came, the experience that they had, and you will see the number of places from which they came. And there was confusion, and in verse 14, Peter stands up, so we'll continue the story. And Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Our Father, for these moments, we take a glimpse into this incredible day of Pentecost and the arrival of your Spirit. Open our hearts to your word, open our hearts to your Spirit. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Oftentimes, when we move out of the stories of Jesus and out of the Gospels, there's a temptation to think that the stories of Jesus are done. For after all, they're recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then we move to other parts of the Bible, like the book of Acts. However, when Luke wrote the book of Acts, you may have noted that his very first words were, in my former book, Theophilus, the person to whom he was writing, I wrote to you about what Jesus began to do and to say. And so when Luke wrote the book of Acts, he had not at all closed the chapter on the Jesus story. As a matter of fact, he was saying, Jesus is not done. Just because I finished the gospel does not mean that the story of Jesus has come to completion. And as Luke begins to write the stories that are in the book of Acts, what he in fact is doing is writing the stories of Jesus, but his work in a way that is something unlike it is in the Gospels. It is not as if Jesus had just sat down. This is a continuation of the Jesus story. But it is a continuation in a way that was unforeseeable. It is a continuation in a way that was unpredictable. None of the people who gathered in Jerusalem on this day knew that such a thing like Pentecost would happen. They had done what they had done throughout many, many years. They had come to celebrate a great and wonderful and joyous Jewish feast. Surely they would gather their kids. They would have it on the family schedule. And without doubt, everybody far and wide would know that during this time of the year, we travel together as a family to Jerusalem. We go to celebrate what God has done. We go to celebrate the first fruit. We go to celebrate the gifts that He has given us. And no doubt, there was incredible anxiety for some as they tried to travel many miles, and high expectations as they came upon Jerusalem and off in the distance would see the temple. And they would begin to bump into people they had not seen throughout the year. And there would be great singing. There was the anticipation of wonderful worship. There was beautiful fellowship. And there was a great expectancy that as they gathered, they would have one more memorable year in Jerusalem. But when they gathered on this occasion, God did something to continue the story of Jesus that was totally unprecedented. The people were gathered. They were ready for feasting. They were ready for worship. They had come from all parts, and all kinds of dialects and languages were represented. And they had made their way. And on that day, God sent His Spirit as flames of fire that rested upon every single one of them. Like a mighty wind rushing through the entire crowd of them. And everyone could sense it. Everyone could feel it. Everybody knew that something was happening right here, right now, that could only be an act of God. And nobody knew what it was. There was no way to say, well, this is what we did last year. Or we heard about this happening many years ago to the people of God. This was new. This was fresh. This was totally different. There was no way to have looked it up and talked about it and explained to the children beforehand, something's going to happen that your mother and your father have never seen before, that your grandparents never experienced before. But on that day, 50 days since, hence Pentecost, 50 days since death and resurrection of Christ, counting from Passover, on that 50th day, God came down. And in most of our Bibles, when you look at the beginning of the book of Acts, most of them will probably say the Acts of the Apostles. The truth of the matter is, not all the apostles are talked about or mentioned. It's not really the Acts of the Apostles. Some Bibles will get it a little more right, and they will say the Acts of the Spirit. That definitely gets closer to home. The truth of the matter is, it is the Acts of Jesus through the Spirit. In other words, what Jesus had begun to do, just as Luke says, He continues to do. What Jesus started some time ago is now breaking out in a new and a fresh way. And undoubtedly, as the Jews who gathered in Jerusalem at that time began to reflect, and as the years went by and they began to understand in larger pictures what God had done, I'm sure that many of them went back to the very days of creation in which Genesis depicts it in the very beginning as being dark and void and without form. But the Spirit is hovering over all of that like a mother. And somehow when God begins to speak things into existence, like let there be light, it is the activity of the Spirit participating in that. For the Spirit was there. And I'm sure that as They thought about what had happened at Pentecost. They realized this is like creation all over again. Except this is not the creation of things like sun and moon and stars and animals and trees and vegetation and flowers and streams and lakes and oceans and mountains and valleys. This is the creation of a brand new people. And as the Jews began to understand what happened in that moment, they began over time to realize, or the church that was born on that day began to realize, this is a creation of God Himself, as powerful, as majestic, as wonderful, as the very first time God said, let there be something. And now on this day of Pentecost, it is as if God is saying, there's one more thing. There's one more thing. Let there be my church. And there, by the power of the Spirit, is yet another thing created and born. And no doubt people began to think about the days of Moses. When Moses went upon a mountain and God appeared to him and revealed to him the Ten Commandments, or the ten words of God that bring hope and encouragement and that help form us and guide us and shape us so that we know how to live as a people of God. And when Pentecost through the years had been celebrated, the Jews were reminded, and they associated the day of Pentecost with the very day that Moses went upon the mountain and received God's gift to him. And yet on this day, they must have thought again to themselves, God has spoken one more time. Who would have ever thought that after speaking to Moses? Who would have ever thought that after our great leader had gone and been privately in the presence of God, with even his face shining after that encounter and bringing down to us the words of God, whoever thought God would appear again? But now he's appeared to us all. Now he has come to us all. And this is a revisitation. This is a new visitation. This is a fresh day. And the Spirit of God has come to us. Something new had happened that day. Perhaps as they thought about the Jesus story itself, they thought about the incredible moment when an angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and shared with her the news that the Holy Spirit would conceive in her and she would bear a son. And that son would be none other than the Son of God. And on this day of Pentecost, no doubt, as understanding began to break through in the hearts and minds of people, they started to realize that just like the Spirit did something in Mary, now the Spirit has done something, has conceived something, has born something, has descended in such a way that all of God's people who were present on that day, all of those who came for worship, every one of them were now themselves like Mary, filled with the Holy Spirit. Who could ever imagine that from a day of creation, from a day like Moses had with God, from a visit like Mary had with an angel, to a day of Pentecost, that God would come in such a way? And I'm sure others must have thought to themselves, I know what this is. This is a reversal of a day gone wrong. And some of them undoubtedly gathered together and said, do you all remember that time way back when? Way back in early Genesis, when our people gathered together and they wanted to build a great tower to go as high as God so they could see Him. And so they got together and made their plans and began to construct the tower so that they could see God. Undoubtedly, their heart's desire was not only to see God, but they wanted to be like God. They were something jealous that there was a God and they were mere humans. And they assumed to themselves, if we could just see Him, maybe we would be like Him. And when they completed their building project, the Bible says that God had to stoop down to look at what they had built. And then he dispersed them with various languages so they could never ever do anything like that again. The communication would make it impossible. And people began to go all over the map. And this day of Pentecost is an incredible reversal of what went wrong in our story. It is a response from God that says you could never make anything. You could never make anything with your hands, with your plans, with your resources, with your materials. You could never construct anything that would come and allow you to come and see me and be like me. You will always come woefully short in that effort. But it is as if God just took a dramatic pause and in the next breath said, but we can do this. I can come to you. I can come to you. I can descend to where you are. I can flood your place. I can send my spirit. And the very God that you desire to see would live right inside of you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And there is this incredible reversing as the day of Pentecost has come and God's Spirit descends upon His people, creating a whole new people. And Peter stood up to make sense of all of this. And when he stood up, he quoted of all things a prophet of Joel. And he said, Joel talked about this day, that God would pour out His Spirit. And as Peter began to share what Joel had prophesied, it was very clear in his sermon, his first Christian sermon, that Peter was saying that God was building a bridge. He was building bridges across every barrier of humanity that you could think about. He was building a bridge from heaven to earth. And he was willing to start the come over. That is, he was willing to start the descent. He was willing to start this new thing from his end. And so he built a bridge from heaven to earth. And the truth is, he had already sent a number of people across that bridge over time. He had sent kings and prophets and people of God. And he had sent Mary and Joseph. And he had sent others. But on this day, he sent his Spirit. And his Spirit found a home in the hearts of people. It was not only a bridge that connected heaven and earth, it was a bridge that was built between races that had been divided, against cultures and ethnicities that had been separated over time. And God said, we're going to build a bridge there. There will no longer be a division between Jews and Greeks. We're going to build that bridge, and the Holy Spirit will hold that whole thing together. And it is as if God came himself and stood on the bridge and with one mighty hand said to the Jews, you come along, and to the Gentiles, you come along, for we are going to be one people. No longer will there be Jews nor Gentiles, for in me, if you come to me, there'll be one people and one people only. And it is as if God stood there and reached out to the poor and said, you come with me. And said to the rich, you're invited as well. You come to me. And when you come together in Christ, there will no longer be rich nor poor, for there will only be one in me. That's the Spirit's work. And it is as if he said to all women, you come with me. You take my hand. And he said to all men, you come with me. And he said to all teenagers and all boys and girls, you take my hand and you come together. And when we are one, there will be no such thing as division among you. You will be one body, neither male nor female, neither young nor old. Even your old men will dream dreams. I'll be that fresh to them. And your young men will see visions of the future. And your daughters will prophesy. And you will be one people. What a bridge. And then he took all of those languages that were represented that day. And you knew that they couldn't understand each other. And it is as if he said, you come with me, people who speak Grecian languages and dialects. You come with me, those of you who speak Hebrew languages and dialects, and you come together, and in me, you will find that your hearts are the same. You will find that your destinies are the same. You will find that your stories are the same in Christ. What God did at Pentecost was start a movement. A movement that has not stopped in all of the years since that day. A movement that has found its way through every century, through every historical time period, that was not stopped by a plague nor a war, that has not been halted in the face of Middle Ages, that has no death attached to it. And the only reason that we are in this place today, celebrating this meal, singing these songs, fellowshipping with joy and loving on each other, and worshiping and praying together, is because there hasn't been one moment or one breath or one blink in which that movement wasn't powerfully doing exactly what God wanted it to do. And so here we are. We are the people of that movement. Sometimes in churches we think, wow, we need to create a movement. We need to create something that creates more energy. Let me tell you the secret about all this, the open secret. We don't have to create a movement. Every time church people try to create a movement, things go wrong as a short life term, or it doesn't do what it's intended to do. God never asked us to create a movement. He's got that. He's only asked us to join the movement that he already created. That's it. He's only invited us to come to that which he has already begun. He's only said to us, you're welcome. Take my hand. Take my hand. Come to what I'm already doing and find your place in the movement of the Holy Spirit, the reality of the presence of Jesus Christ to the glory of God in our world. He is already doing it. He's already doing it in the streets. He's already doing it in businesses. He's already doing it in homes. He's already doing it in places of recreation. He's already doing it in schools. He's already doing it in government. He's doing it across every land where there are people who hear the voice of His Spirit and simply take His hand and come along by His invitation and say, I'll come. I'll come. We don't have to create a movement. We just have to live out the movement that already has been created by God. We certainly can't trump Pentecost, but the movement of Pentecost is alive and well. God simply says to his people, you come. Come to this bridge. Stand in this place. Receive this gift. And live out the reality of the ongoing story of Jesus Christ in our world. The story continues. The focal point is Jesus. The Spirit empowers it. And the mission is God's. As we press ahead in our own discerning of what God is doing in our church family and among us, our praying and our discernment, our growing even more so together, our fellowship and our worship, will seek to encourage us time and time again. What do we look like? Who are we in this incredible movement of God. What does it look like for you to look like Jesus in today's world? What does it look like for us as a family to be the movement of Jesus on the peninsula? A movement that God has already begun. And He just invites us to join Him in a movement that changes lives and changes the world. I'm going to ask you if you'd stand with me, please. And I'm going to say a prayer. And after I pray, I'm going to invite you in whatever way God might impress upon you to respond. Perhaps today is a day that you need to begin a journey of God's movement in your life. And so you're going to step forward and you just come and you can just, if you wish, you can just simply share with me. I want to begin this life in Jesus Christ. God has already moved. He's waiting for us to take the next step. He's already moved on your behalf. So He stands waiting for you. I would be delighted to pray with you as we begin a journey in Christ. Perhaps you've known Christ for some time, and the sense and the wonder and the mystery and the power and the joy of the movement has been a while since you've experienced that. And you would just like to come and just refresh. Say, God, I know I've seen that movement before. I've even been part of it in ways I'm not so much part of it now. And I've been religious and I've been doing my thing, but I just want to get back to that movement of God in the world. I want to get back to that fresh experience of your Spirit. I want the reality of Jesus in my life. And the truth of the matter is, not a person in this room who wouldn't want to pray that prayer. We all understand that through our humanity. And in your own way, refresh yourself with God and the presence of His Spirit. And if you would like to come forward, I'd be delighted to pray that for both of us, for all of us. Let me lead us as we pray, and when we begin to sing, I invite you to come, and I'll be right here to meet you as you come. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to us. Thank you for the reality that the story of Jesus Christ continues. It doesn't end just because He went to heaven. It doesn't end because the Gospels have come to a close. As a matter of fact, it unfolds in a most beautiful way. The story of Jesus now takes shape and form within us and around us and among us and in this community and around the world. So, Father, we come. Some may be coming today to start that story in a new movement in their life, in coming to receive Christ, in coming to join and open themselves to your love and your goodness and your grace and enjoy the beauty of forgiveness and renewal and being a new creation. And we celebrate that. Father, most of us come and just bring our hearts before you today. And where we need to be refreshed by your Spirit, where there needs to be renewal in our own hearts, where there needs to be reorientation, or maybe where we have taken a step or so aside, and it is now and it is this time and it is appropriate today that we come again and join the movement of God's Spirit in our world, we come. Thank you for the many, many bridges that reach from heaven to us, and the many bridges that will extend from this church to our community. Father, we receive today's Spirit, and we do so in Jesus' name. I invite you to